When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
All right, we're going to get to the phones. Panay Sewell's comments to the doom and gloomers. Mm-hmm. Hop off. The real ones know. There's been a lot of infighting in the Lions fan base. We touched a nerve yesterday, and the conversation has only continued, and now Panay Sewell has weighed in. So let's get to the phones. Joe in Mount Clemens, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So Tony aptly called them moronic and delusional. And that one caller, he believes even if Goff, for example, were out. And I know you guys specifically, the morning show has said it before, fan is short for fanatic.
Correct. Yes.
Well, we, as in me and you, are fans. Well, that gentleman was a fanatic. Nothing else matters. He's just zoned in, and he's a true believer, as they like to say. So, yeah, I agree. There's far and few of those actually out there.
Right.
Most of us are just fans.
Right.
We understand injuries impact how performance is going to be on Sundays.
Which group do you think is bigger, the doom and gloomers or the fanatics, as you put it?
I don't like doom and gloom. I think we're realists.
No, Joe, you misunderstand. I think most people are realistic.
Right.
I think on the extremes, you have the doom and gloom who've given up on the season, who Panay was asked about, and then you have the fanatics who think no matter who gets injured, they'll win the Super Bowl no matter what. Which group have you thought is bigger?
This year, I would say fanatics.
Yeah.
Any other year previous, I would say doom and gloom.
I would agree with that.
And part of that is because the fanatics, we've never seen this before.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
You know, in other cities where, you know, it happens more regularly, then you become more of doom and gloomers because you've seen it before and you've had your dreams crushed and things like that.
I also think a lot of the fanatics might be newer fans, right? I mean, people who are...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They don't understand. Probably don't even know who, you know, Geno Smith is.
What do you mean the Lions are in trouble?
Yeah.
What do you mean? So I think there are more of the extreme positive than the overwhelmingly doom and gloomers.
Right.
To his point, historically, it's the other way around.
Yes.
248-539-9797. Keith in Redford, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, you know, I really don't understand why everybody's crapping their pants about the Lions. I mean, you know, when you really think about it here, and I'm not a fanatic, I'm a realist as well. We still have the best offense in the league. You still have a 1,000-yard rusher. You got one of the best tight ends. Goff just came off a 500-yard game throwing 5 TDs, no interceptions. We still have Amon St. Ra. We still have J-Mo. So we still have one of the best offenses in the league. When you look at our schedule, the Lions played the hardest, toughest schedule. I mean, you know, when you're watching ESPN and all these pundits, they keep saying the Eagles are the best team now. The Eagles haven't really played anybody, right? And they having issues. You know, they falling apart at the end of the season. So
not this year. Last year they did, and they look. The Steelers are one of the hottest teams in the league, and they gave them their.
I mean, they coach was about to fight one of the players last week. That's a locker room falling apart. They do this every year.
Hold on. 2 years ago they played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
2 years ago they played in the Super Bowl. collapsed conveniently when they hired Matt Patricia.
Yes.
He's not there. Okay. They've won 10 or 11 in a row. And in terms of they haven't beat anybody, they beat the Steelers. They won in Baltimore against the Ravens.
They
beat the Packers.
Who has the Lions beat? Right?
Hold on, these are two different points.
Right? One of the top two teams.
They've both beaten good teams.
Yeah, they're both 12-2, Keith. But
crapping our pants, acting like, okay, it's an issue when we still have the Bears and San Francisco, right? And we have a depleted defense. So all of these guys that's moving up or the new guys that's playing, you got a great opportunity to learn the system against a weak Bears team and a weak San Francisco team before the matchup coming up with Minnesota. So I don't really get where everybody is, you know, crapping their pants about the Lions and the doom and gloom.
Do you actually mean that you don't understand why people are, like, afraid?
Yeah, I don't, because we 12-2. I don't get it. And we got the top offense in the league. I don't get why everybody is crapping their pants.
Keith, there's actually one team that scores more points per game right now than the Detroit Lions, the Buffalo Bills. I'd like you to revisit that game because it might help you understand why people are feeling bad. Keith, in addition to losing, which happens, and I don't think we would freak out in and of itself if they lost.
Right.
They lost because, well, even when McNeil was healthy and Carlton Davis was healthy, they couldn't get stops. A healthy Lions defense couldn't stop Buffalo. Now an injured Lions defense is supposed to stop Buffalo or Lamar or Mahomes or Hurts. Like, it's all of it. All of it is why we're concerned.
So, again, we got 2 weeks to get the guys ready to play. We got one of the best offenses in the league. You got to score more points than us. We still got an all-pro offense. I don't really get, like I said before, everybody's tripping out about the defense, but we still got the best offense in the league. You still got to score more points than us. It went down to the wire with Green Bay. Okay, we still got the win.
Of course.
It went down to the wire with the Buffalo Bills.
Keith, let me ask you a question, okay? Do you think the Lions, before the latest rash of injuries that took place in the Buffalo game, do you think the Lions right now are as good as they were 2 weeks ago?
No.
Okay.
But that's not a gotcha, Keith. He's not gotching you.
The season is not over, though.
Correct.
No, I agree.
We agree.
That's how everybody sounds. That's how everybody sounds.
Well, if it sounds that way, then we need to do a better job.
And even just a couple of calls ago, you guys broke a guy down all the way to saying that Jared Goff, what if Jared Goff gets hurt? Like, come on, like.
It's to illustrate the point that some people are so in their own world that they won't acknowledge what's staring them in the face. And maybe we need to do a better job if you think that Stoney and I are people who think the season is, quote, over.
No. This is where me and you got into it, though, the other day. See, I'm like Keith. Keith summed it up beautifully. This thing, they can get this defense in a better spot in the next couple of weeks as we go into the playoffs. Is it going to be the defense that it was? No. But if it's better than it was against Buffalo, then I think you can beat anybody. And, Jim, I think you keep putting such an emphasis on Mahomes, Lamar, or Allen. You know that that's 6 weeks away? Okay, so
We can't talk about the Super Bowl anymore, is what you're saying.
I think we should live in the moment a little bit right now and see how this thing evolves.
So I'm confused because for the longest time, the season has been all about putting it in the context of the Super Bowl.
Right.
And Campbell has said it, and Holmes has said it. Right, Dan said he wants to win the whole enchilada. We had Campbell out a couple weeks back. He was counting the number of games that they would need to play to win the Super Bowl, assuming a bye, like planning for a bye, chasing a bye week. Everything has been in the context of winning the Super Bowl. But now I'm not allowed to bring up the Super Bowl. It's in bad taste to bring up the Super Bowl.
No, we can talk about it.
Okay.
I think just ruling out the chance that they could get a little better here. And that's really, I think, all it takes. There are fans out there that blamed the offense for the last game and said, you know what? You should have scored possession for possession. You screwed up going 3-and-out the first two possessions.
Right.
You know what? Are we ever going to see a Super Bowl where it's literally, you know, you're going 48-42 again? No, I
would concede Alex Anzalone would have made a difference. He was sorely missed. They attacked the linebacker level on critical spots. Buffalo did.
Aiden Hutchinson's still hurt.
But Aiden's still hurt. And the Lions' D-line with Aleem McNeil couldn't get to Josh Allen and he extended plays. Now Aleem McNeil is done for the season. It will be even harder for them to get to Josh Allen. It'll be harder for them to get to the team's quarterbacks they need to win the ultimate goal.
And while I think that their offense is great, there's no doubt about it, losing Montgomery, it hurts it a little bit, doesn't it? Am I I mean, am I being a bad person by suggesting that?
No, I think Gibbs is the better back, but yes. So much of what this team has done is convert short yardage, and Montgomery's the short yardage back. Right. So that's red zone, that's fourth down, that's all of it.
They're going to miss Montgomery at some point in some situation, but then Gibbs is going to bust a play when Montgomery would have run it. So it's all going to balance out. I'm not too worried about that. I just go back to the foundation. This whole thing was built on the culture that they have and guys buying in. And this team flipped the corner with defensive linemen that were named Benito Jones, Isaiah Bugs, and John Kaminsky. And I think their current defensive line's better than that. Okay? So if they can win with that and be the team nobody wanted to play at the end of 2002, why can't they be the team nobody wants to work towards that with this?
Well, they can.
They're fragile. Everybody knows that.
Right. That's the point.
I just think it's your perspective. It's like the perspective you have towards life. I've seen a hell of a lot worse and more banged up teams, I think, go on to do things I never thought they'd do.
I just think it's convenient that now we need to take it week by week when the whole season we weren't. I think that's a defense mechanism. We can't talk about how they'd match up in the Super Bowl anymore because it's actually not a good answer. Like, you get where I'm sitting where I hear that and I go, well, we can't talk about how they'd match up with Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, or Hurts in an NFC title game because we don't like the answer. So instead, let's focus on the
Bears.
Because
you want to talk about that. I agree. We can talk about it. We talked about that all week more than we've actually talked about the Bears and the week to week.
Yes.
You got to remember, you have to retool and reassess things on the fly and let things play out a little bit and see where it goes. I think logic says that you guys are probably right, that the chances are a lot less.
Right.
But sports are not played on paper.
Exactly. Michigan, Ohio State.
I mean, great example.
You don't need that either. That's an extreme.
I know.
Are we in that situation? That's the Hendon Hooker situation.
No, we're not
in that situation. No. We're, you know, you could say maybe Nick Foles situation, but he played well in the playoffs after Wentz got hurt. I don't know. They're not as good as they were, you know, a week ago. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And their chances to win the Super Bowl have been diminished.
How dare you?
Does that mean the season is over? Does that mean they can't win the Super Bowl? Hell no. But I've never seen a team with this many injuries do what we hope they can do.
You're not a real one, and you can hop off. All right. There's been a lot of uneasiness within the fan base, clearly. I have a question that will test that uneasiness at the end of the hour. It's 97.1. Moran Chevrolet is closing out 2024 with awesome pricing all month long. It's their Red Tag sales event. So get off the sidelines and get into the game with Moran Chevrolet. GM employees and immediate family members can lease a 2024 Equinox EV for $119 a month. Say that again, $119 a month. A car payment of $119 a month, 24 months for the lease, $999 down. It's Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Score your best deal at moranexpress.com. They're on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Stoney in for John Jansen this week, which means you get the honor talking to Brian Baldinger with us.
Love it. Love it. An offensive lineman. The fact that it's me, not John, means it's not two offensive linemen talking.
So we'll have to lean on Brian. What's going on? Good morning.
Morning, Jim. Morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing pretty good. Better than the Lions MASH unit. When you look at the injury situation with this team, and we'll get into the O-line in specifics in a bit, how do you make up for all the injuries that they have?
Well, I mean, that's a challenge, but, I mean, despite it, they still put up 42 points the other day. I mean, defensively now, they're losing a lot, and Buffalo took advantage of it. I saw them going after Quan Alexander. I mean, Quan's been there for a few weeks, been a good player in this league, but they really took advantage of him in the passing game. And so, you know, you got to work, you know, Aaron Glenn, he's got to work around that a little bit and, you know, either get better coverage guys in there when there's some passing situation, but I don't know if Chicago or – you know, Minnesota, some of these teams you got coming up, if they're going to see the same thing that I saw last week, I'm sure it's going to kind of stand out at them.
Which injury is the most concerning? I mean, you got 22 to pick from. but Brian, when you look at these injuries that are adding up, which one is the biggest, maybe the hardest to replace?
Well, I think your defensive tackle position is huge. You know, I mean, everybody's going to try to, you know, I mean, those are some good players inside. That looks like there's not a lot of big bodies like that around that can clog the middle, stop the run. I mean, that's generally what everybody will tell you when you get to the playoffs. You better be able to run the ball and stop the run. It kind of starts there. And I thought that that was a weakness. I thought, you know, look, I think they can get by without David Montgomery we've seen Jahmyr Gibbs start before. I remember last year he was a starter when Dave was out against the Raiders. He ran for 150. I think he's capable of, you know, giving them the run game that they need. He's going to get quite a few more carries than he's used to.
When you look at the offensive line the last 2 weeks, they have not been able to run the ball as effectively.
Nope.
How much, when you look at the tape, Ragnow looks like he's not playing very well. Do you think they're battling injuries, or do you think there's something that we're missing?
I just think, you know, last week they got so imbalanced atypically because they fell behind and they got away from the run. And it's not usually how they start games. They like to really start pounding it with David and then work in Jahmyr, you know, and it's a great 1-2 punch. It has been for 2 years. But I thought last week, I don't know how many passes, you know, I know Jared dropped back more than 50 times last week. I don't have the exact number, but, you know, they just didn't get into the rhythm that they typically get into, and they got into a passing game. And I think that affects them. I think David, before he got hurt, I think he had, you know, five yards or maybe five carries. And, you know, that could happen. That can happen to start a game before you kind of figure out which runs are working and what we need to do and, you know, what they're doing to try and stop it. So I don't think they ever got to that spot last week.
Talking to Brian Baldinger, Odyssey Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes all football season. Let's talk about the Bears. The last time the Lions faced them, too close for comfort as those injuries started to add up. What do you think of the matchup this time?
Well, I mean, you know, Chicago's gone through a lot of changes since that last game. I mean, the coach has been fired and, you know, one-time quarterback coach is the head coach. And so it's just, I mean, they're a mess. They have played well in the second half of some games, but they kind of fiddle around for the first half, and they find themselves far behind. The quarterback is scrambling. They're capable of playing good football. They just don't do it for four quarters, and they haven't done for four quarters for much of the year. And so it starts up front, and the quarterback really doesn't trust it. They started a rookie third-round pick from Yale last week, It was a disaster, not just because he didn't play well. They didn't help the kid out at all. And so I'm anxious to see if they go with Borum this week or stay with Armagagy. I'm not sure what they're thinking about, but that looks like a big weakness to me. Maybe a guy like Za'Darius Smith can really take advantage of it.
I hope so, because we haven't seen much pass rush from the Lions. I'm just curious, you know, we're getting a little bit obsessed with the Philadelphia Eagles, and because of the battle for the one seed, not to disparage Minnesota at all. The Eagles, they're playing great. They're arguing with fans and all that stuff with the coaches. And how much of that is bothersome to you as a former player, number one? And the other thing I wanted to ask about is, when's Dickerson coming back?
I don't know if Landon, I mean, he went out of the game last week, and Tyler Steen came in and played pretty well. Their backups played well. Atlanta gets hurt a lot, but he always comes back. He never misses a much time. He's just a warrior. I live in Philadelphia. I see the scene. Like, it drives me nuts to see, you know, Nick Sirianni arguing with fans. They haven't played particularly well at home. They played great on the road ever since that loss to Tampa this year. When they go to Washington this week. Washington gave them a real good game 5 weeks ago. It was 12-10 late in the fourth quarter, and Washington missed a fourth down attempt, and Philadelphia just ran them out of the gym for 20 straight points after that. But it was a very close game. I think Washington matches up pretty well with them, especially if Terry McLaurin can get deep. He's their deep threat. He's had a great season. He only caught one pass for 10 yards in that first matchup. But Philadelphia, it seems like they get better and better every week, and they whatever was ailing them whatever week before, they seem to be able to correct it the following week. Last week, the passing game was talked about all week long ad nauseum, and the passing game was never better than it was last week. So they have the ability to fix it because they have great talent, and they have really good coaches.
Race for the one seed is going to come down to the wire. Brian Baldinger, we appreciate your time. Have a good day.
Merry Christmas. Yep.
My pleasure, guys.
Yep. Merry Christmas.
Well, a judge has denied the Oxford High School shooter's motion for resentencing. On Thursday, a judge denied the shooter's motion to withdraw his guilty plea and denied his motion for resentencing. So a judge said that the shooter's plea was knowingly, voluntarily, and accurately given, and there was no defect in the plea-taking process, and his sentence is constitutional and proportionate to the seriousness of the crime and the offender.
What was he thinking?
He was hopeful, I guess.
That,
I know. He tried, was denied. Listen to this. A Muskegon man is in custody after he allegedly stabbed his boss at a staff meeting this week. Happened on Tuesday morning at Anderson Express. That's a manufacturing company. And this 32-year-old employee stabbed his boss in the side, then ran off to his car and drove away. About 15 minutes later, he was arrested, taken into custody. The victim, the boss, was in critical condition, taken to the hospital, but is expected to survive. Police have not yet established the motive, but they're not like ruling out the possibility that this was like almost a copycat attack, you know, from the murder of the United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson.
Is this a healthcare place?
No, it's a manufacturing company, but perhaps he saw this murder and thought, well, I'll take out my boss, too, even though that wasn't the boss of the guy that you know what I'm saying, right?
Jimmy, you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. We're good with you. Yes. Costa did not bring a machete to work.
My goodness. After spending the last few days consulting with doctors, David Montgomery is optimistic that he can avoid surgery altogether and rehab his knee instead, which means he could return for a playoff push. There's potential there.
Well, that'd be big. I mean, especially we keep talking about getting that one seed, an extra week for him to heal up. Any chance to get him back on the field would be a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Farmington Elementary School in Garden City has been cleared from a brief lockdown after a plastic gun was found in a student's backpack. So the school was first placed under lockdown after somebody called 911 and said that there was a student seen with a gun coming off of the school bus. Well, according to officials, they responded to the scene, found the school administrator had already stopped the student, took the backpack, and it turned out that it was just a toy gun, but it is illegal to possess even a toy gun on school property, which was found in the school's backpack. But anyway, everyone is safe. There was no threat to the school. This is intriguing. It's always interesting if you've ever looked on Google Maps to look at like the image of your home or, you know, like the street view, yeah. right? You can see because sometimes you're actually out like in your front yard or you see them go around. Well, Google Maps helped solve a murder. So two people accused of killing and dismembering a man in this possible love triangle have been arrested. And it's all thanks to some major help from the Google Street View. So it happened in Spain. And according to authorities there, there was an investigation that that started back in 2023 because somebody called and reported a family member missing. Right. So they started to investigate. Where is this person? And Google Maps published a Street View image in this remote region that reportedly caught one of the victim's killers in action. And it had been 15 years since Google Maps had last visited the area. So it just so happened, there's an image on Google Maps that shows this guy, you know, he's in jeans, he's got this like a football coat on, standing over his trunk, hunched over, and in the trunk, there is this long white bag, okay? Then there's a second photo from further down. So that the truck going around catching all the images drove ahead. This guy was ahead. Same person, same outfit, same coat, carrying the white bundle in a wheelbarrow captured on Google Street View. So it was those tips that led to the murderer caught. He and his partner were also taken into custody.
Shout out Google.
Yeah. Stoney. Oh, I'll save this one for you. I've got some news for you.
Oh,
for Stoney?
For Stoney. I mean, it's for you, too, but...
We'll get to it in the last news of the show.
Intrigued.
All right. Coming up next, the picks, 97.1. Confidence. An edge. Latitude. Panay Sewell. That's how he should feel.
Damn right he should feel that way.
But... I don't fault him one bit for anything he said there.
No.
I don't think collectively we need to be fan policing one another, but inside that locker room, yeah, they have no time for anybody who is not 100% believing that they will win the entire thing. Now, we can do the stupid bickering amongst ourselves, and we kind of kicked that off yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of real fans and bad fans and believing and not believing, and that's there if you want it. 248-539-9797. It all stems from an uneasiness, right?
Yes.
I want to test that uneasiness with a deal or no deal question.
All right. Come on, Howie. Let's go.
You got your suitcases?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the situation. You lose to the Bears, but I guarantee you that you beat the Niners and the Vikings. Effectively, I guarantee you a division crown.
Yeah.
You can't be the 5 seed. You have home games at Ford Field in the playoffs.
Worst case scenario, you're a 2 seed.
Worst case, you're the 2 seed. But that is part of the scenario where you would not be the 1 seed. Mm-hmm. Would you risk losing the 1 seed to guarantee a division crown and at least stem any of this uneasiness and the bleeding and all of it? Or is it worth just playing it out, running the table, chasing the 1 seed? Deal or no deal?
Well, I'm sure I'm the minority here because I've always been a wuss. So I would take the deal. However, the reason I'm taking the deal is, although I really respect the Philadelphia Eagles a hell of a lot, I am not convinced, and as Brian Baldinger pointed out, that the Lions cannot go down there and win in Philadelphia. Now, I know once upon a time they went to a playoff game there and Lomas guaranteed a victory and they got killed. That's 8 coaches ago, probably. That's irrelevant. I think the Eagles, especially if the Lions can get to a decent lead, the way that fan base is, would they have a better chance of winning here? Absolutely, obviously. But I would take that chance. Because the flip side is, who knows, you know, then you're losing the division, you're opening up the playoffs on the road, which they can win. I mean, I'm being safe, I think.
Safe. It's operating from a position of fear, though, afraid of what could happen.
No, I'm not afraid of Philly, well, per se.
You're afraid of falling to the 5 seed is why you take the deal.
Yeah, I guess.
And Stoney, not that you're wrong to think it. I mean, it would be a catastrophe to have the season the Lions have had and somehow end up as the five seed.
Right.
So I get guarding against it. But to me, the risk is worth it. I want the one seed because it's the rest, which, boy, does this team desperately need a breather.
I get it.
And the one seed is such a big deal. Hosting the NFC title game. You brought this up. I went and looked up the numbers. The NFC title game has been won by the home team 8 of the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. If you throw in the AFC, 15-5 the last 10 years, the home team advances to the Super Bowl. That's not even factoring in the fact that they want the rest.
Right.
So the NFC title game, if it's in Philadelphia, and I think Philly's better in the trenches right now with the injuries, I don't want to go to Philadelphia. So right. I'd risk it for the biscuit. No deal. Slam the suitcase shut. You guys can answer that as well. 248-539-9797. To the phones we go. Justin in Bloomfield. Justin, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I need to give Stoney a bit of a hard time, but first I have one thought for you guys about the Lions. One, Jeff Rutledge. Remember when the Giants lost Phil Simms in a Buffalo game, coincidentally, and they won the Super Bowl?
Jeff Hostetler.
Jeff Hostetler. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If memory serves, they scored 35 points in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, which consisted of 2 touchdowns and 7 field goals. And I know the situations are reversed here. They were hampered on offense. The Lions are hampered on defense. But a one-sided team could win. Maybe, you know, Campbell talked about a one-point victory is a victory. Maybe they need to win 52-49 every week. So, you know, there's hope there. But what I need to give Stoney a hard time for is I called in a couple of days ago. You guys get so many calls, I'm sure you don't remember. But I was the one that was waxing poetic about how proud I am about this team, and I said something like, they could lose the rest of their games and it would still be a fantastic year.
Yep.
You guys all gave me a hard time. Oh, we don't want that. We don't want that. Now Stoney wants to give up the Bears game. So,
but I'm not saying lose the rest of the season.
I know. I'm giving you a hard time. Plus, okay. I'm an actuary. And so I have no problem with risk aversion. So I'm actually kind of with you on that.
Okay.
So thanks, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, thanks, Justin. Thank thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of the show. Calls from actuaries. 248-539-9797.
An actual actuary.
Okay. Let's get to Ken and Howell. Ken, what's up? You're on 97.1.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I don't know if this is fitting into your the bet or the deal or no deal, but I don't understand why home field is so advantage. I mean, it's an advantage for the fan, but not for the team. Both of our losses came at home, and I was talking to my cousin Brad last night. I go, why are we so concerned about home field advantage?
Well, Jim just gave you the statistics for NFC Championship games over the last 10 years.
8-2. I mean,
that's the reason. But you are correct. The Lions, they've been road warriors this year, and their next 2 games are on the road.
And we think they're going to win both of them. I mean, they'll be favored in both of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not telling you they can't win on the road, but to me, it's also the bye week that comes with it. It's the rest for this team. It's what if it meant David Montgomery gets to come back in one piece? Because he's not done for the season. Every week's going to be big in his rehab and trying to get him back. What if you don't have to play the first round of the playoffs? What if Frank Ragnow, who's a tough SOB, who's been gutting out injuries all season, you could say, hey, Frank, you get the week off.
Mm-hmm.
Could that do wonders for this football team? That's part of it more than anything. Like, playing the game at Ford Field has advantages.
Yes,
I think the bye week is a bigger advantage.
It is. There's no doubt about it. But
Texter says, hey, keep in mind with your deal, no deal thing, there's no guarantee that Philly makes the NFC Championship game. We could get the 2 seed, yet still host throughout the playoffs.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. So they would be, okay, so if Philly's the 1 seed, who would they get in? They would get...
It depends who wins because they reseed, but likely the 4 seed, so the worst...
It would be...
Probably Bucks or Rams. Right now, it would be Bucks or Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Bucks beat them already.
Yeah.
Bucks beat them in a playoff game last year,
That's
too.
That's true. Exactly. The Bucks are the...
I'm on no deal here.
I know.
There's no way I'm taking this deal. I think getting the 1 seed makes it a lot easier for this team. It's not going to be easy no matter what, but I just don't like going to Philly in that game. Look, it may not happen, just like that text pointed out. But I just trust this team. I think they're going to get this right over the next couple weeks and beat just continue to get a little bit better defensively. Look, that caller's right about the, I don't know about 52-49 playoff games yet. I don't know if we're in that offensive NFL world. But we're programmed, the older we are here, that defense wins championships. But that is becoming less and less true in the NFL as we go. The game is geared towards offenses. Mm-hmm.
They want it that way, too.
They certainly do. And for the Lions' argument to do this thing, because they're still alive. I don't know if that has been articulated well enough by you or me, Stoney, because I think sometimes we get lumped in with the extreme doom and gloom. I think you and I have tried to be fair about this. We should articulate that very much the path for this team is there, and it's the one seed. It's the bye week. It's having to play two playoff games before the Super Bowl instead of three. It's getting a couple key guys back. It's having that NFC title game at Ford Field, and maybe you have to upset Philadelphia. You could do it.
Right.
And then you're in a one-game season to win the Super Bowl.
I just have one request from the Lions.
Yeah.
That if they win, which I think they will, we all pretty much think they're going to win on Sunday, don't start with the "we told you so" stuff. It's beating the Bears is not a "we told you so" yet.
Yeah, the season's defined by so much more.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Now, listen, whatever they got to do, like if they want, I don't think it's accurate, but if they want to inside that locker room pretend that the entire fan base is doubting them, I mean, sure, go for it. Whatever helps you, whatever motivates
it's not
you.
Not true.
No, I know. It doesn't have to be, though. Michael Jordan famously would make up stuff.
Yes.
Take it personally.
Right.
Sure. Penei Sewell, everybody thinks your season's over. Whatever you have to tell yourself to go out there and play with some snarl and rip some people's heads off and win the game, I don't give a damn. Do what you have to do.
Yeah.
We could talk a little more about the game coming up next. More of your phone calls, too. It's 97.1.